Oh, well, we get to take a trip to Texas with Russ Wallace, West Texas. So thanks, Russ, for coming. High Tunnel Production in semi-arid, windy, darn right, windy, Texas High Plains, worth the cost and effort.
Russ? All right, thank you. So we'll switch gears a little bit. This is, I guess this may be more like an extension talk, but we've been doing research for about 8 or 9 years on high tunnels, and we're still struggling to keep the plastic on. So it's kind of, sometimes it's hard to do temperature trials when the plastic takes off like that. And let's see, where's that thing? Of course, you can see here my technician. He's hanging on for dear life. And of course, he just jumped in the photo while I was taking it, but I thought that was a pretty good indication. And so this is going to be more, a little bit more informational. Okay, we know that we can grow crops pretty well inside high tunnels as long as we can keep the plastic on, as long as we can keep the frames in the ground. We've had cases where some growers have had high tunnels lifted up out of the ground because of the wind, and luckily it was during the winter time, and the tunnel was probably raised about 3 or 4 inches. The ground posts were out of the ground, and so we thought, what are we going to do? Well, luckily we got about a 10-inch snow. And it was a wet, heavy snow, and it pushed the tunnels back into the ground. So we didn't have to do a thing. But anyways, okay. So in West Texas, we have several we're increasing the number of high tunnels. Irrigation is an issue. We have irrigation water is received from the Ogallala Aquifer, but that level is being reduced. So high tunnels are a good area to, or a good use for small growers, small acreage growers to concentrate their irrigation on and grow a better crop. We've seen in the past with tomato production during our first couple of years that we can irrigate less inside a high tunnel and produce more tomatoes versus outside where it's pretty windy and a lot of respiration going on. We've got about 4 million acres of cotton, so we're a high cotton producing area, 2 to 3 million, maybe even more of that of sorghum. And we're having increased corn and dairy production, so they're using a lot of water. So irrigation is going to be very important for us. We have a large commercial vegetable production in the high plains, but that's been decreasing. I guess in the 15 years I've been there, it's decreased quite a bit, so that might be my claim to fame. But there is small acreage production, and that is increasing with a lot of local production, a lot of growers interested in selling their small amounts of vegetables to farmers markets, okay? And we've actually been increasing the number of farmers markets as well for them to have these opportunities. Almost all the small acreage farmers, they have full-time jobs, and so a high tunnel to them is kind of like a part-time job. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's not, because they don't pay as much attention to it because they're still trying to make a living. All right, but growers do desire to produce high-value crops and supply retail stands and farmers markets. And with certain crops, we know that they can make pretty good money. So why high tunnels in West Texas? Wind is our primary adversary. Our average speed is about 13 miles an hour. That's day in and day out. We can have annual wind events from anywhere from 45 to 70 miles an hour. This one you see on the screen is one of my high tunnels. That's a dust storm, and that's 80 miles an hour. Okay, I happened to be at the research farm when that was happening, and I was crazy enough in that storm to drive out, because not very often do you get photos like that. Okay, but most damaging winds are during the early crop season, from January to about June. So when you're trying to plant the crops, they're small, they're tiny, the wind will just blow them apart if you don't have some sort of protection. All right, also freezing temperatures, we can protect them obviously inside the high tunnels. Hail, we have many hail events as well. And it doesn't take much hail when you add some wind to it to knock your sensitive vegetable or fruit crops. And it's well known that high tunnels can increase production and quality in West Texas. In our part of the state, we're kind of latecomers to high tunnel production. 2009 was the first time we got a grant with Texas A&M, and that was in cooperation and collaboration with Washington State University and the University of Tennessee. That was a 3-year project where we looked at tomatoes, strawberries, and lettuce. And I thought, let's not do strawberries because we just don't grow strawberries in West Texas. But we were able to prove myself wrong. For many years, many of the other states had the NRCS program, EQIP program for high tunnels for growers to get some grants. We were the last state to get it, and I contacted our state conservationist. He said, well, we just don't think that they'll withstand the winds in Texas. So I sent him my data saying, hey, we're pretty good at keeping the tunnels intact. And so the next 2 years, we got that in our state. And we've had about 200 participants in that program. 2013-2015, we were able to get some strawberry grants from the University of Arkansas through the Walmart Foundation. I don't know if anybody saw the favored strawberry video this morning, but that was part of that grant. And then we've been able to continue on with our strawberry production in high tunnels with a SARE grant, looking at primarily biological control products. And also I could add to this that Dr. Charlie Rush up in Amarillo, who's further north of us in the Panhandle, has also received some high tunnel grants through the Texas Water Resource Initiative. So we can grow crops, we can grow beautiful crops inside our high tunnel. But once we start opening up those, you know, if it starts to get too warm, start opening up those sides, that wind comes in. So we spend a lot of time raising and lowering those vents and opening and closing the windows. And for me, I lost a technician, so I don't have the money for a technician, so I drive about 20 miles back and forth sometimes in the middle of the night to close that tunnel down or to raise it up, depending on temperatures. Oftentimes, our prevailing winds are coming from the southwest, and so we'll keep the south door and the west side vent closed and still allow for temperature, hopefully, to leave the high tunnel. And sometimes it means just opening a higher window. But we can grow, believe it or not, we've been growing pretty well with strawberries. Strawberries, I've got some data. I'm not going to show much data. But we had one event where we had, it was 9 degrees outside temperatures, and it was the middle of January, and I already had plenty of flower production on my strawberries, and I wanted to save them. So I triple covered my strawberries with row cover cloth. Measured the temperatures when it was 9 degrees outside and it was 45 degrees underneath that row cover cloth. Now, it depends on the temperatures and the sunlight during the day before you get those cold temperatures. On overcast days, we won't see much of a difference. But we still will protect it. But, I mean, that's a pretty significant difference because we had a good sunny day prior to that cold event. Spinach, pak choi. We're at an elevation that's about 3,500 feet, so we can get pretty cold winters. I know most people think of Texas as being warm and humid. We're hot, dry, pH of about 8.3, so we can have some troubles growing certain crops. But again, wind is our major competitor. Some general concerns by our small farmers, the cost, okay? Is it worth their cost to put up a high tunnel? Most farmers are hesitant to purchase them because of that. They're unsure which high tunnel is going to survive our winds. We've had pretty good luck with our high tunnels, though we have had some damage because there are many options out there. Selecting the right high tunnel is also critical for a small acreage farmers, and by that I mean their stability. I've been around, since I've been there, we've increased our high tunnels by about 10 to 15 on the high plains. And I've driven by some this last year, and most of them I've seen the plastic off. Now, I don't know if that was because it blew off or because they took it off. But anyways, there seems to be a lack of general knowledge with our growers. So at one of our events, I did a quick little survey. I only had 16 growers at the event who participated in the survey. Basically, I asked them, do you have a high tunnel? Yes or no? 81% of them said no. So they're there to learn about it, but they're still hesitant to go ahead and purchase a high tunnel. So I said, if no, go to question two. So they only had to answer two questions. If yes, go to question five. If not, why not? Most of them felt, 62% of them felt, well, they need more information. Okay, so we've been having high tunnel conferences for about 5 or 6 years now. So if we can get them to come to each of the high tunnel conferences, they can learn more. Or they can contact us. We have developed some extension guides on high tunnel production. 31% of them thought the cost was too high. Well, there's no way you're going to get away from that. In fact, high tunnel costs are going to keep going up. Okay, so they better get in the game if they really want to do it. Labor demand, I think many of you know that high tunnels, you're going to increase your labor, whether it's raising and lowering the sides, doing maintenance on the high tunnels, or actual crop production as well. And it also indicates that more education, especially for our West Texas growers, is needed. Question five, how long have you owned high tunnels? So on average, we have about 2.5 years for our high tunnels growers, so they're relatively new. The first high tunnel that I knew about was in 2007 in a grower who grew tomatoes. Now, he was a good grower, but he never rotated his crop out of tomatoes. So by year 3 and 4, he pretty much lost all his tomatoes. So he knew how to grow them, but he didn't obviously know how to rotate very well. Okay, so more education is needed. I teach them, don't put your high tunnels on poor ground. You want to grow them on the best ground that you have, and you're going to have to treat your crop inside a high tunnel just like you would outside the high tunnel. Rotate and rotate. Other questions, why did you purchase a high tunnel? Well, they want to be able to grow tomatoes and blackberries, okay? I keep trying to push them a little bit more into strawberries as well, but we're still working on that. Produce crops early in the season, extend the season. So they do know about those advantages. And in our part of Texas, we can grow crops for 4 seasons. We get enough sunlight during the wintertime that we can grow some cool season vegetables, some spinach, some kale, some cabbage, lettuce. All right. So question 9, what problems, if any, have you had with high tunnels? Both of them that answered said the plastic blowing off, okay, or the plastic not staying on. This high tunnel up here, this is the 4th year on the plastic, okay? So this is one wind event. We got it to stay on right down here where the wibble wire is, but we keep, with our consistent winds, we get a lot of billowing in the plastic, and that tends to create small holes and then eventually tear. Dr. Charlie Rush up in Amarillo, this is his high tunnel. I believe that was the first year of putting the plastic on. This is the first year of high tunnel production. So you can see they have actually more severe wind events than we do up in Amarillo, which is about 1.5 hours north of us. So, again, it's tough to do some of these high tunnel trials when the plastic keeps blowing off. Now, what we recommend to our growers is to have 4-foot spacings between the rafters. Okay, that makes your high tunnel purchase a little bit more expensive rather than 6 feet. After any annual event where you've had some high winds, go in and do annual checkups, or actually after each event, go in and do a checkup. Make sure those high tunnels are secure. You might have to retighten some of the bolts, re-stretch the plastic a little bit, but you want to make sure that you maintain those so that you don't lose any of your frames. In West Texas, our frames need to be anchored. In our project, our frames are anchored at 6 locations with 240 pounds of cement mixed with rebar coming up, and we hook toe straps to the frame, as you can see right over here. That makes it a little bit more difficult if you're trying to use a rototiller in there, but we can't get quite that close to the sides because of the shape of our high tunnels. But we haven't lost a frame yet, but we do lose plastic. Well, I take that back. Okay. We lost an end panel, okay? We lost the plastic, and as you know, you've got that end panel, and if it's still standing, it's going to act like a sail. So, in one of these wind events, we lost the plastic, and then we didn't get the plastic ordered in time before this end panel blew down. And so we did lose 2 ground posts. Now, luckily, the end panel was framed in, it stayed together, and all we had to do was lift it up and set it back in and connect it to the frame. The end panels also were a problem. Right here, we ordered these with zippered ends because we wanted to be able to drive right through with our tractors. Unfortunately, the zippered ends only lasted about 4 months because of all the billowing and the wind. And we had called the distributor and said, "Hey, we know that there's a guarantee on these," and they say, "Well, the guarantee is 30 days." So we missed that. Okay, so we framed ours in. We put wooden doors. Similar to some other, I believe in Tennessee, some growers there. Other growers in our area have used metal framing as well to keep it more secure. Here's the end panels as well. Okay, this is 45-mile-an-hour straight line winds over a 24-hour period. If you lose that plastic, it might be best to kind of take those end panels off, or you might be losing some ground posts. So losing the plastic on top opens the end panels for potential damage. What we recommend with our growers is not to go with the 6 mil standard greenhouse plastic, but go with the 5.2 ounce interwoven fabric. Okay? That's a lot tougher. We have had some holes. During my first year, some technician was messing around, he threw a hammer up in the air and it went right through the plastic. That hole stayed for 6 years, so didn't split. The plastic should be pulled as tight as possible. We do have problems with that where they get lazy and they don't stretch that plastic tight enough, and then you get a lot of billowing in the wind. We generally try to secure the plastic with either drip tape or rope to prevent billowing, okay, and that reduces the holes. Unfortunately, a lot of times with that drip tape, which is right here, you can see we still get some tearing. And eventually, after year three or four, you're going to start splitting, especially if you get a big wind event. And then, of course, here at the where we've secured that plastic here, it'll start to fray. And then pretty soon those holes, during a big wind event, they could just open right up and then you'd lose your plastic. So we are Texas A&M Aggies, and we fix things the Aggie way sometimes. Okay, so here is a wind event that took off about 25% of our plastic. So we still had trials under there that we were trying to keep safe. And so we took some, believe it or not, some zip ties, tied those to the frame here, covered up the holes pretty well. And then, of course, in certain spots, we have more tearing here, so there's a small tear, so we put together some Gorilla Tape, tried to save the plastic that way. That saved us another year, but again, plastic is expensive, costs about $1,500 now for this type of plastic, and it's best, we tell our growers, best to have some backup plastic if needed. 1 minute? Okay, all right. So is it possible to pay off your high tunnels in 1 year? I think I only have about 2 slides left. In our area, yes, if you grow some high-value crops, we've seen with strawberries, I've been able to get close to 2 pounds of strawberries per plant. We're selling them at, I'm letting growers come in and pick them, and they're selling them at the farmer's market for $7 a pound. So we can get about $12,000 retail value, so that's enough to pay off a high tunnel. Blackberries, our first year, too, we sold those for $7 a pint, and they valued at about $16,000. Tomatoes are kind of hit and miss. We do have problems with southern blight that can kill our plants pretty quickly. So would the growers recommend high tunnels to other growers? 100% said yes. Of course, that's only 3 growers, but they said yes. Even with the actual and perceived concerns, West Texas high tunnel producers still recommend purchasing high tunnels to other growers. And just in conclusion, really quickly, so only about 20% of our growers have had high tunnels. We're trying to increase that, especially if they want to grow high-value crops like strawberries or if they want to grow crops throughout the wintertime as well. Slow to take off in Texas compared, I think, to other states. High costs, the potential for damage with the high tunnels in our part of the state, and high tunnel maintenance and high labor costs, I think, are an issue as well. So for us, in order to keep high temperatures, or keep the temperatures moderated like we best, we need to keep that plastic on, and that's part of one of our problems. So if anybody has any solutions to that, let us know. Anyways, that's my presentation. I don't know if we've got time for a question. Yes. Yeah, we see that where the purlins are going down, we see more tearing there. We've actually tried to solve that by getting foam insulation and putting in that. So if you looked at one of our tunnels, you see every corner has foam insulation there. But yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no.
Okay. Our one high tunnel with blackberries, that's the tightest tunnel I've had for 5 years. So it's a matter, I don't know how we got it that tight, but we did, and it's withstanding. The other ones sometimes just don't do it. Yeah.
Have you tried using double layer poly and
inflated? I have not.
We
don't have any we don't have any electricity to do any fans or anything out here.
Yeah, well, you don't need, you can use low voltage electricity.
Okay. On the corners we do, but not on the others. I guess one more question, is that okay? All right.
So basically, mine goes double poly, overinflated, and she said low voltage will work, that reduces the billowing. It also reduces the load because we're transferring that energy throughout the whole tunnel. And then when she said concrete folks, we're out of Wilson, we're very windy, comfortable in West Texas. We have concrete folks on every footing, every month. And then additionally, another option, if you don't want to do that, you can get the 9-foot poles. Instead of burying them and pounding them down 3 foot, you put 6 foot into the ground. And so that can also,
Right. Yeah, I don't think the frame is the issue. I think it's the plastic. So the double, I'm not sure how much, our growers are pretty cheap. I don't know if they would go to double plastic, but it's something for us to look at. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Carol?
I was just going to say, I have a hydro project up in Alaska.
All right.
20 mile an hour wind, minus 40 is an everyday event here. not to mention bear and moose.
Right. Oh.
And I forgot to write it down here, but it's something like 120 pounds per square inch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've never seen anything like it, and we're going to start writing it up.
All right, that might be something. All right, I'll get with you afterwards.
There's another product similar to that out of Israel where you could have pictures of this in Kenya. They literally did not have liberal wire. They just cut a hole and stuck it on the frame.
Oh, wow. I was going to assume that's expensive. All right, that was more than one question.